WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and Sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. It's Friday, the 15th day of April, and taxes are due very soon. I got my taxes in, Rick. They're in. They're filed, so that's the good news, right?
I didn't know we had an extra day because of a holiday down in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, yeah. Is that right? Is that why we have the extra day? I know we usually get it in Massachusetts, but then there's a Monday holiday in Washington, D.C.?
No, there's a holiday on April 16, and because it's on a weekend this year, they celebrate the holiday. I don't even know the name of it. I saw it in the Globe this morning. They celebrate the holiday on the nearest day, the nearest work day to April 16, which would be today. Friday, April 15th. So it's a holiday down in D.C.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So that means they're due in Massachusetts, won't be due on the 16th because it's a holiday in Massachusetts.
Yeah, so there you go. So maybe sometime in the days ahead you need to get your taxes in Massachusetts, but in the meantime, relax, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Not saying there's any hurry or anything like that.
No, I got mine are done, so that's good, and everything's good, so we're happy about that. That's good. So getting ready for Patriots Day, getting ready for the nice weather, and so on. Coming up in today's program, we have Matt Jenkins. To me, just one of the great guys in that we've met covering sports over the years. Matt Jenkins left the Salem News several months ago for another position. We'll talk about that, but Matt Jenkins joining us here is just a terrific sports writer and person as well. And so that'll be great. Matt will be joining us here on the program. And I think, Rick, do you want to – oh, there's some news here. And we'll have a post on this as well if it's not already up. It'll probably already be up. But Lynn is getting some federal money for a ferry. You know, I had the Lynn commuter ferry from Lynn into Boston. And that's been – even as of last week when we did the story with the congressman in town, with the lead team, the economic development team – for the city of Lynn, they had no word of the possibility that they'd get money for this ferry because the state can't pay for it. And so it looks now like they're going to get money to actually physically get a ferry, which is a major part of the cost. And anyway, so we'll tell you more about that story later, but that appears to be happening. So there's federal money, a $4.5 million federal grant to pay for this new 149 passenger ferry. So that's coming out of Congressman Moulton's office. So there you go.
Well, I'm glad you said ferry instead of fairy, because in Kansas, you can't use the word fairy in school, in textbooks. You have to use the word elf, E-L-F. You can't use the word fairy. So I'm glad you said ferry and cleared that up. You follow me?
I hear what you're saying. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And I have no idea why I said that, but I just thought I'd mention. A couple of things up in Cape Ann. Bill, I don't know if you've
No one knows why you said that either. No.
I don't know. It's just, you know, it just goes off. It's those videos you've been putting up on North Shore Today. I don't know if you've been noticing, but a lot of articles on Bobby Gibb, the first female marathoner to run the race in the Boston Marathon, and she, I believe she ran it in 1966, 50 years ago, and she is the Grand Marshal of the Boston Marathon festivities on Monday. She lives in Rockport, and I believe, I'm not sure if it's California or where else, but she lives in a couple of places, and she has actually been contracted to build a sculpture of herself, and she said she's going to make it more generic than anything else, to be dedicated to the marathon and to her. She's now in her early 70s. She's very active. She has a tremendous career. She's been a scientist. She's an artist, and she's still a runner. So great to see that she is getting some love from the area for her accomplishments over the years, and the fact she was a groundbreaker. Really cool to see. And it's Emancipation Day. It's Emancipation Day that is the holiday in Washington, D.C. that's ordinarily celebrated on April 16. And when it's on a weekend, then it's celebrated either on Monday or Saturday, whichever day is closer. If it's on a Saturday, it's celebrated on Friday. If it's on a Sunday, it's celebrated on Monday. So this year, it's on Friday, which means, again, your taxes don't have to be in until Monday or Tuesday.
So Washington, D.C. has Emancipation Day off. Is that right?
It's called Emancipation Day. I'm just reading this from the Times.
Okay.
And it says, celebrates the day when Abraham Lincoln signed the Compensated Emancipation Act on April 16, 1862, which freed thousands of who were living in the district. Emancipation Day was officially declared a public holiday in Washington in 2005. Since then, government offices and other public services do not operate on April 16. When the holiday falls on a weekend, Washington observes the holiday on the closest weekday.
All right. Well, it's like Christmas. Now, yeah, they do the same. Yeah, with all the holidays. Yeah, yeah.
Well, usually, yeah. Well, anyway, Manchester by the Sea bill is looking for two heads of office. They're looking for a new police chief and a new fire chief. Apparently, one is out on medical leave. The other has retired or is retiring. And so the selectmen will be discussing the selection process, which I guess makes sense if you're a selectman to get into a selection process. Anyway, the discussion will be – sorry. It's that second cup of coffee. Discussion by selectmen on how Manchester by the Sea will conduct a search for new fire and police chiefs will take place Tuesday, April 19 at 6 p.m., the discussion will probably start around 7, so I don't know why it says Tuesday at 6, but that's what it does. And it'll be at Town Hall in Room 5. That's at 10 Central Street in Manchester by the Sea. So they're looking for both a new police chief and a fire chief. And I must say, Gloucester went through that process a few years ago and came up with two absolute gems as their new leaders in each department. So good luck to Manchester by the Sea.
I'm surprised.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, you go ahead. That's fine.
I think that's it from here.
All right. I'll just
wait. One more thing.
All right.
I'm sorry. From the Gloucester Times website, there will be a public forum on the new arts and cultural initiatives and policy. Apparently, they got some kind of a grant, $45,000 or something or other like that. So on April 19, city councilors will host a meeting from wards 2 and 3, starting at 6 p.m. in the Sawyer Free Library. And I don't know why, but anyway, that's a committee for the arts that will be taking place in the Sawyer Free Library April 19. Apparently they got some kind of a grant to do something with arts. So that's pretty informative for me, I'm sure.
Also, front page of the Salem News today, right at the top, state suspends liquor licenses for Italian Club and Elks. So it's four down, one to go for Beverly's beleaguered private social clubs. Again, they were involved with this, gaming or gambling devices or whatever. So that's the latest news is that the Massachusetts Alcohol Beverage Control Commission has suspended the liquor licenses of the Italian Community Center and the Elks for violating state gambling laws, adding to earlier suspensions for the Union Club and the American Legion.
Somebody, Bill, when we talk to some of our representatives in the future, I'm not being facetious about this. I want to know about that, about how these things are illegal gambling, because gambling is just rampant everywhere. So what does it mean that only the state can reap in funds from gambling, and only the federal government can, or whoever? In other words, you can't do a private play cards. I want to know about that.
Well, no, yeah, I think you can play cards, but I don't know what they were. I don't know. So let's not. I won't. If I don't know what really went on, I'm not gonna go into it, but I think they were into sports betting, I believe. I believe that might have been the case. Yeah,
that makes sense, and that's what I want to know about, why certain things get allowed or regulated and others aren't. I am curious about that, because it does seem to me that there's a little bit of a double-edged sword there, at least. It doesn't seem quite equitable, but I would like to know about that from a very ignorant standpoint on my part.
And just for our listeners, Rick, you're not a gambler either. I mean, it sounds, you're coming at this, but it sounds like you're a gambler. You're like, this is a guy that can't wait for this show to end to put down some money on the NHL playoffs or something. But that's not who you are.
But I got to tell you, as a math teacher, I know the odds. And so when I will tell you this, when my father taught me how to play poker, and believe me, I'm awful at it, so I know better than to try to gamble. But when I have, if I have $2, two $1 bills that I could take a match to and light them on fire, and let's say Powerball or Mega Millions or whatever those, say they're up around $200 million, and I've got $2 I could burn, then I will buy a scratch, a quick pick. But that's it. I know the odds. I don't buy scratch tickets, except at Christmas time. I do all my Christmas shopping. I get both gifts at the local 7-Eleven, and those are scratch tickets that I put in someone's card, and that's it. But that's the extent of my gambling. I just know the odds, and the odds are horrible.
Well, you're a warm, thoughtful gift giver, Rick. That's for sure.
Thank you.
But, yeah, so, well, I mean, if you're playing cards, though, at a table, I mean, let's say – let's say you got four people, five guys, whatever, or people at the table, you know that the money, if you lose, you know who it's going to. You know, it's not going, you know, it's staying at the table or staying in the room, so to speak. But it's not staying with you, but whatever.
Right, and it never does. But my dad, what we used to play when my dad was alive with a couple of friends, we'd maybe once a month get together and we'd play nickel dime. My dad taught me how to play nickel dime poker. And I had a former candy jar that had $10 in coins in it. And that was my limit playing cards. So if I ran out of money, that's it. I'm done. And most of the time in nickel dime, you know, if you win 10, lose 10, who cares? It's mainly to get together for laughs is how we looked at it. But there are a lot of people, needless to say, who are very involved in gambling. And in terms of revenue that goes in and out of the state or in and out of people's pockets, I'd like to know exactly how that works.
So in nickel dime is your philosophy, if I can take this nickel and burn it, then I will then I'll play.
But you, there you go.
But the nickels won't burn. I mean, you haven't been able to burn those nickels yet, have you?
No, but I can play longer that way.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, Matt Jenkins is joining us just ahead here. Stay with us here on North Shore Today. Joining us at this time is Matt Jenkins, former sports writer with the Salem News. Stepped down just a few months ago now. But, Matt, great to talk with you, and welcome to MSO News Sports.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we have so much to talk about, but I just wanted to have you on to get your insights on a number of different things, and also kind of say, you know, as far as the sports is concerned, we just wanted to have you on to kind of recognize all that you've done for sports here on the North Shore. But you know, and I'm thinking, Matt, you know, remember we used to do those football roundtables when I was doing stuff with the radio station, and then earlier on with the website, but. I mean, the Salem News Sports Department has such a great reputation with all, you know, like different waves. I was thinking about this a minute ago, Matt. You know, like the Celtics, the reincarnation, you know, they had the Celtics with Bill Russell, then they had the Celtics with Larry Bird. I mean, the Salem News had the Bill Kaporis, Mike Grenier, Gary Larrabee, Carl Siegel Group, then they had Phil Stacey, yourself, Matt Williams, and Gianna Addario, and Gene DiPlacido. And you have all these people, and you actually had such a great group of people, talented people to work with.
Yeah, it was a great thing for me. I mean, I grew up, you know, reading that initial group that you mentioned. You know, even like, you know, the pre-Phil Stacey days, even when it was Mike and Gary and Bill, and then when I got there, I got an opportunity to then work with Phil, who at that point was the sports editor, and Mike and Bill were still on staff, and Dan Dusso was actually on staff when I first got there also. And then Bob Albright came along for a while. And, you know, it made the transition very easy for me into, you know, the working world. I was right out of college. And those guys taught me so much about the business and everything you really needed to know and how to do your job every day. You know, I've said that many times. And you could point out different aspects of their ability that helped me transition. You know, Bill's work ethic was unbelievable. I mean, it was every day you would come in, he'd be on the phone from the second you walked in the door to the last minute, you know, after midnight. And Mike was such a great writer, and also, you know, he knew how to take awesome story angles and you know, just reading him and what he did every day made you a better writer because you would pick up little techniques from him. And Phil, of course, I think, you know, one of the things Phil was great at was organization and making sure guys were on the right track and, you know, heading in the right direction. And one of the things that we always did, even especially after Mike and Bill moved on, I think the communication between the younger staff was so important. And we would have these little meetings, you know, impromptu meetings about, you know, what are we doing here? How are we going to attack, you know, this football preview section, and we would always just bounce different ideas off each other. And I think that was something that sort of was built later on after the older guys who had been there forever and could do this stuff in their sleep, when they moved on, when we were a younger staff, I think the communication changed and we were a little bit more, you know, open about throw out some ideas, brainstorming, just things that we could do to make the paper better.
Well, you know, the paper, you know, the business has changed. I mean, I think you must have seen it change a lot in your years. And by the way, how many years at Salem News for you, Matt?
It was like 17 and a half years.
Oh, my word.
I know, amazing.
And you're still so young, Matt. How does that happen?
That's what I feel like it, but that tells me I'm not.
It's an indicator, huh?
Yeah.
Well, just one small indicator. 17 years. Yeah. No, but you but you know what strikes me is that if you were to look at the Salem News or the area sports pages from 30 years ago, let's say, they're different than they are today, and it's you know, obviously there's more color and there's more features and that kind of thing. Does that sound right?
Yeah, the difference is crazy, and it's not just, it's literally every aspect of the paper. I mean, if you actually grabbed a paper from, you know, the late 90s when I was there, the actual paper that it was printed on was bigger. The font was bigger. The size of the paper was bigger. And then, you know, it started, you know, sort of shrinking. They made it a smaller newspaper just in general to hold. And then, the pages maybe went down a little bit too. But then the way you attacked it was different too. I think, you know, one of the things we struggled with or battled later on here was trying to keep things fresh and keep people interested and not just doing the typical, you know, game stories and here are some photos and that kind of thing. We tried to, you know, do little graphs or, you know, little pull-out sections or you know, some boxes and things like, you know, key moments in games and box those things out from the story and just to give it a different presentation and make it interesting. And one of the things, too, I mean, that I tell people all the time, that when I got there in the late 90s, in 98, there was actually only one computer in the newsroom that had the internet. So if you wanted to get on the internet, you basically had to wait in line to use it. And then, of course, now, by the time I finished up, it was, you know, everyone has internet on their phone. They're reading stories on their phone minutes after you file them. And, you know, Twitter became such a big thing for us over the last few years. And, you know, Facebook to some degree, blogging, all that sort of thing. And it was just, that transformation was like, blew me away, really. When I look back and think about it, it was, you know, when I was first starting out, and I would have, you know, dinner, you know, a little dinner break, and I would try to, maybe now it would have been, you just jump on the internet and, you know, go to ESPN.com or SalemNews.com or wherever you wanted to find some news and read a couple stories while you eat. Back then, it was I would go on our wire service and just see what was coming across, and I would be reading, you know, NBA stories on the wire because that was like the only option because I didn't have the internet on my computer. So it changed so much, and that was, I think, has been a struggle for the newspaper industry for a while, I think, is to how to deal with that and how to keep people interested when information is so immediate now. You don't have to wait till the next morning to read about the game. You can get it, you know, just, you know, an hour later, pretty much.
Yeah. You know what I find interesting about your story about the one computer in the newsroom, Matt, is that somewhere, and I'm not making fun of anybody because I go further back than you, is that there was a guy in the Salem News management that said, you know, we probably could use like one computer in there for the internet for all those guys and the reporters. And then there came the day when they said, I wonder if we need more than the one computer. You know, I wonder what that conversation was like, whether they were, well, maybe, maybe not, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like, I think one will last, you know, that'll probably get us until the next century. You know? I don't think so.
You know, they're not going to last forever. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's kind of like the feeling, too. I remember when I was in college, we didn't have cable in our rooms until senior year. And, you know, so we would just have to pick up the three or four stations that we could on TV. And then halfway through senior year, we got cable in all our rooms. And it was like that weekend, nobody left their rooms. It was just everyone was watching TV. So it was like when we got internet on our own computer, it was like the same kind of feeling. It's like, wow, the internet is right here at my desk. This is unbelievable. But it was, you know, it felt like it shouldn't have taken that long. But it was definitely a sort of, that was when the change started to happen. And the business was definitely changing.
Yeah, and what's interesting now, Matt, about, you know, not to dwell on this, but it's what we're living is that now today kids in college, I mean, they're not even watching the cable TV, you know,
right.
You know, my kids, you know, out of college now, but they don't have cable TV at their houses, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's changed more. I mean, now it's, you know.
Hey, Matt, tell me the story about the day you got hired at the Salem News. I heard you tell this story to Phil Stacey on your Salem News Going Away podcast, but I mean, it's so typical of, I think, how people do get hired in different situations. Tell us that story.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think Well, first of all, when I applied, I think I had told Phil back then that a friend of mine and myself both had the idea that when we got out of college, it was our one last summer, and we weren't going to worry about, you know, getting a job right away, and we were kind of going to take it slow, which we did. And then I think it got to be about halfway through the summer, maybe July or early August or something like that, and I saw in the news that they were looking for, at that time, just a part-time sports writer, and I think that was something that I wanted to explore anyways. And so I happened to know Nelson Benton, who was one of the editors at the paper at the time. I grew up with his son, and, you know, I kind of sent my resume to him and also to Phil, and long story short, I ended up going in for an interview, and, you know, basically being new to that whole interview thing anyways, I was just assuming I would go in and, you know, they would talk to me about what I had done in the past and all that stuff and get a feel for who I was, and they did initially. It was just Phil and Mike Grenier interviewed me, and I think maybe we talked for about a half an hour or so, and as the interview was wrapping up, I think Phil had said, all right, well, let's get you out there on the phones and see how you do, and it was like, oh, okay, you know, like it was a total shock to me that I was just diving right in, and I had really no experience doing any sort of thing, and that was really like my first day, and I guess they did that with everyone who had applied for that position, and then they kind of judged them how, you know, the guys based on how they did that night, the way they handled themselves on the phone and what they produced as far as the writing went. And I just found it very strange to be thrown right into it. It would be like, you know, I don't know, someone, if you were in radio and you went to become a DJ or something like that, and you went in and they said, all right, well, let's get you out there on the air. It seemed very weird to me that the very next day what I wrote that first day was going to be in the newspaper. But that's kind of part of the business. You know, I always said that to people, too, that it's one thing if, you know, there are a lot of jobs that if you have a bad day at work, nobody's even going to know. But if you have a bad day at work, people are going to read about it in the paper the next day. So so that was just kind of the way the business was. And then after that, when I had that interview and went through that process, I think it was probably a couple weeks before they officially, you know, gave me word that I had been hired. But that was really my first day, my first experience with the news. And I think my official hire date wasn't until like September of 98 or something like that. But I think that first, you know, experience with the news and meeting Mike and Phil was, I think, maybe like late August or something like that. But it was an interesting way to get introduced into the business, for sure.
Yeah, instead of saying, hey, I think I got to go down to HR and talk this over a little bit, you know.
Yeah, right. It's like I could have been anyone. I mean, what I wrote in the paper could have been a total mess. I mean, those guys were so experienced and knew what they were doing. I'm sure they could have edited and fixed it up and made it work. But, you know, at the time I was thinking like, wow, this is unbelievable. You know, it turned into what I thought was going to be, you know, maybe an hour at the news. I spent the whole night there. And, you know, my mother was probably freaking out, like wondering where I was, because it turned into probably 5 hours instead of an hour.
Well, which kind of brings me to one other point here. Well, a couple of other things to discuss, and that would be leaving the Salem News. And tell us about what you're doing now, and maybe the reasons, kind of the reasons why, those kinds of things. And, you know, because obviously you were fantastic at what you did at the news, but there are other considerations, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, when some of the stuff is what we talked about before, I mean, the way the business was changing, I think things are a little bit less secure now than they were before. And you know, I'm not that 21-year-old kid anymore. Now I'm 39 years old with two kids of my own. And that really was the ultimate factor that I think maybe a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I really started to think this is going to be hard to continue with my family now and what's going on with my kids. And I want to be more involved there. I don't want to be, you know, going off to work when they get out from school. So it worked. The job worked very well when they were younger, because my wife also has a job. I mean, she's a nurse, so she's very busy. And when the kids were younger, not in school or going to preschool, when there was just half the day, it was easy for me. She could go to work. I was home during the day. I could take them to school, pick them up, all that kind of thing. But then when they got into the full, you know, the full school days, I was able to pick them up from school and drop them off. But as soon as they came home, I'm off to work. And, you know, they were getting to the age where it was like, you know, do you have to go to work now? You know, one of those things. And my son is 9 and my daughter is almost 7. and they're very involved in sports and extracurricular activities now. And this new job is more of a it's not a completely normal schedule, but it's more normal than what I was working. So I can attend practices. I coach my son's basketball and baseball teams, and my daughter is now really getting involved in soccer. And so when they have weekday things, practices, games, I can actually go to them as opposed to try to work out my schedule and not be able to go at all. So that was a really, really big factor in it. I didn't know how long it would take to find something where I could do that. And I just sort of got lucky with there was an opportunity working for the city of Peabody that came about, and it's in the water department, the water treatment plant, which, I didn't really know anything about, but they really were in a time of need also. I mean, they needed people to learn that business. I think there are some older people in the department now that will soon be moving on, and I think they need a younger new crowd to come in and kind of learn the business too. So, I went into it with I don't want to say no expectations, but I had no knowledge of what I was going to be doing, and it's been a real learning experience. I mean, I'm 3 months in, and I feel like I've only, really scratched the surface of the things that I'm going to need to do. And I'm working, days and a couple of overnight shifts, so it gives me some flexibility with the kids. And I'm also going back to school. I have a weekly class that I have to pass, and then pass a couple of exams to get licenses, the necessary licenses to be an operator. So it's been interesting, and it couldn't be any different from the news. I mean, these are two opposite ends of the spectrum, and I went from working with words and writing stories and doing interviews to dealing with chemistry and math. So
wow.
It's like, couldn't be any different, but it's been a pretty interesting, nice change so far.
Well, sports, water, everything's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know water yet, not well enough.
Okay.
But I'm getting there.
It's
funny, the only math you ever do in writing, I could do stats, I could do averages and batting averages and scoring averages and all those sorts of things. But now it's like, going back to algebra with equations and that kind of thing, and I hadn't done it really since high school. So, but that's kind of fun. Like I always liked math, and I hadn't used it really after high school the way, some people might have to in other jobs. And,
yeah.
And now I have the opportunity to relearn all those things.
Well, we're gonna have to cut this clip out and save it for some kids. People using math after high school. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, right.
All right, so we only have a couple minutes left, but I want to. This is a story. I want you to talk a little bit about basketball, but before we do that, I remember when I was coming over to do the football interviews, the weekly interviews, and those were fantastic. A lot of fun, a lot of great information and stories, some laughs. And that was when your son was born. So that's 9 years ago, right? And you named him Brady. And, of course, we all know why, because there was a quarterback named Tom Brady at the time, and he's still around. But, that just hangs with me. And, I think a lot of other kids were being named, not a lot, but a few were named Brady. But what you did, Matt, is his middle name's 12. Is that right?
Well, his middle name is Donovan.
Oh, okay. I just kidding you.
So – which is funny, though, because at the time, Chris Mastrangelo was coaching Peabody High basketball. And he was – I can't remember if he had a daughter born recently around then, too, or something like that. But we had been talking about it, and he actually had sent – he had the team send me a card after he found out, which was really nice and all that. But when he found out when the baby was born, he said, well, what's his name, his full name? And I said, it's Brady Donovan Jenkins. And he was like, wow, you really have a thing for quarterbacks, Brady – Brady and Donovan McNabb? Like, what's that? And it was like, wow, that's actually a family name. But, yeah, okay, I'll go with that.
There you go. Now, hey, last thing maybe on basketball. That was one of your loves. I mean, you did all the other sports as well. But basketball was definitely your thing. And, in fact, I was looking forward to doing basketball stuff with you this winter as well. But then you left. But But I guess tell us a little, following the Danvers basketball team the last few years, that had to be something, a real highlight, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I always loved covering basketball anyways. And recently, even recently, basketball was boys basketball had gone to a new level around here on the North Shore, and I was really lucky to be a part of it. I mean, when I started out, it was, you know, we had some good teams, but nobody made those real deep runs. I mean, we might get some North finalists, stuff like that, but nobody really made those real deep runs. And then I think the team that kind of broke the ice was the Pat Connaughton St. John's Prep team that, you know, you could see they were turning the corner. Sean Conley was coaching them with John DeLay, and they kind of broke through then. It was like Pat was really emerging, and obviously as one of the state's best players, and they made that, as a junior, they made the run to the Garden against Central Catholic, which was a good season, and everyone thought, you know, they might have a chance the next year, and sure enough, they did. They made it all the way through the state championship and captured that, and from that point on, I mean, we really had a great run. I mean, Danvers winning 3 state titles, you know, Prep had that one, Hamilton went them with the perfect season, and all of a sudden, it was like these state titles started piling up, and Danvers was obviously really fun to watch because, you know, forever they were not very good in basketball. I mean, I grew up playing basketball, and Danvers was always, back then, one of the teams in the area that was just kind of like, you know, they were a little bit of a doormat, to be honest. I mean, and then John got in there, and right away, I remember the first game I covered that John coached was his first season against Beverly. They played at Endicott College at the time. I think Beverly's gym was being redone, and they used Endicott, and the first time I had met him, they were probably only 4 or 5 games into the season, and I remember thinking, this is different. Danvers is playing really hard. They're very young, but they're playing really hard. It's like, you know, this sport matters to them, and that wasn't a fluke. I mean, he turned things around there really quickly. By the end of that year, they were, you know, they made a little bit of noise in the state tournament that year, and then, you know, a year later, they started their run of state championships, and those teams were really fun, and he had a way of getting those kids prepared. I never saw teams more prepared for individual games than those Danvers teams were. He just, as a coach and that coaching staff, they had him ready for anything, and he was usually, what I would say to some of the guys at the office was, he was, you know, two or three steps ahead of the other coach usually. It was kind of fascinating. I remember they had a game, it was probably his third year maybe, and I think Saugus had played them reasonably tough in the tournament the year before, and they met early in the season. It was kind of like one of those, like, oh, this is going to be a big NEC game, and it was a little bit of buzz around it. And I went there, and it was just anything Saugus threw at them, he already knew it was coming, and they were prepared for it before Saugus could even throw it at them. And it was just, they ended up blowing the game open really early, and you know, running away with it, and going on to another state title that year. And it was just really impressive what they did. And you know, I think Danvers must be sad to see John go, and who knows, maybe he'll resurface somewhere else somewhere down the line. But it would be, I think it would be a shame if he didn't, because he is that good of a coach, and you know, he's not easy to play for, I'm sure, but if you're willing to commit and put the work in, then good things are going to happen to that program.
You know, Matt, I got to run here, and time-wise, but I just got to say one more thing. You, the game that you were at, the what was the last game? The team from Boston. Brighton. Yeah, the last game they played this year in the tournament. I mean, there's a game in a way that they never should have been in that game, and they were. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I know you were there that day.
Yeah, it was. It was almost like, you know, they were playing. Their game plan was, they were executing it perfectly in the first half, and it was keeping them, you know, alive. I mean, they actually had a lead at the half, and you could see. I knew it was going to be tough for them to maintain that in the second half, and Brighton kind of turned up the heat. But yeah, in terms of skill and depth and athleticism, like, Danvers really probably shouldn't have been in that game, but they were. And you know, they weren't that far away, actually. I mean, they got away from a little bit in the second half, but they were right there. They had a chance in that game, and I don't know if there were many coaches that could have kept that Danvers team competitive in that situation.
No, not at all. I mean, I think overall they greatly overachieved this past season to do what they did. And a credit to the players and to the coaches. Well, Matt, we're just about out of time here, but Anything else you want to share with us at all? As you know, we just love talking with you, and you know, hopefully you'll be around, and you know, we'll stay in touch. But I just wanted to check in with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been it was a really great run, and you know, I had a lot of fun. I mean, it didn't even feel like a job, really. A lot of times, just to be out there covering games, and you know, a lot of the games that I saw you at. I mean, I know you know the feeling. I mean, just to be out there and. You know, you're doing work, but you're watching these great games, and these kids compete so hard, and that was always really enjoyable. And you know, I don't want to even say that I'll miss it, because I think, you know, when I have time and there are big games going on, I have a feeling that I'll probably be dragging my kids out to watch those games anyway. So I don't think I'll be really gone. I just won't be. You just won't be able to read my thoughts in the paper the next day.
Gotcha. Well, Matt, great talking with you. Best of luck to you and the family. And so you're going to be turning 40 this year, huh? So that's a big milestone for you.
Yeah, we still got about like 8 months or so. We don't want to rush that. We'll try to hang on to the 30s as long as we can, though.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, great talking with you. And, again, thanks for all your help throughout the years, and much success down the road. And, again, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
Matt Jenkins, formerly with the Salem News Sports Department, right here with us on MSO News Sports. Matt.
All right, there you go, Bill, with Matt, and great interview. As always, as they say, and Bill, we've got some, hopefully some good weather coming up. I know I want to really tout the sports pages that you've been putting up. You've been getting scores and highlights and interviews from all over the place each day, and that's fantastic. Full slate of games going on. Lacrosse, softball, baseball, track, it's tennis, so much going on in the area, and you're getting it with high school sports. So that's terrific, and I want people to take a look at that. Also, we should mention that I won't be doing North Shore Sports Night on Monday night come Monday because of the holiday and the, you know, the marathon. But we are planning to do a baseball game on Wednesday. It's our first foray into live streaming video for baseball. And it's sort of an experiment, but the play-by-play broadcast will be real.
Absolutely. And actually, I'm looking at the sports schedule today, and there's just not a lot of baseball today. It's not a Northeastern Conference Friday, so because of the holiday, they're not playing today, and so they'll be back playing. A lot of teams play on Patriots Day, I believe it is. They play the 10 a.m. games all next week with school vacation, April school vacation, and so they've got those games. So there are a lot of lacrosse games today and so on. So it's not like it's a complete wipeout, but there are a bunch of games today, but they're not all. But no baseball games today. Not Northeastern Conference baseball games anyway. So
I should mention, too, if you're at a game, you want to report a score or something that's really cool, we do have a sports scoreboard hotline. It is, if I can remember it, 978-325-3638. It's an automated sports hotline, 978-325-3638. Call in, be civil, and let us know what you're thinking or seeing.
All right, and you can follow us. You can also email us. We've been putting our email address on there as well at msonewsports@gmail.com. Do follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports. We do update some scores from time to time. Well, we do update a lot of scores from time to time on Twitter if we're out at games and so on. So do think about doing that. Rick, there was something I was just going to mention here. Now it's completely gone for whatever reason. But, man, I
well, you can that. You can hold on to it. I'm sure it'll pop back as I spot off here. Just want to mention also that we will not be doing Trending Now with Josh Arnold today on Friday, as Josh is not available today. He has to go to a funeral again, terribly, sadly. It's been a couple of funerals this month. So we won't be doing Trending Now today. That will return next Friday at 3 p.m. And we're going to see if we can change that time and get it back in the morning on either Thursday or Friday We should be able to do that. Makes it a little easier to get guests, to get interviews. And, again, no North Shore Sports Night on Monday night. But we will have an interview coming up with Heather Atwood on Food for Thought. She gives the story behind the story behind the recipe, concentrating, again, this week on local fish recipes. And we'll have I should be talking with Heather this afternoon. So that interview should be posted later on today or early tomorrow.
So there's no North Shore Sports Night Monday, but it's not because you're running in the marathon. That's not the reason why, right?
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. In case I haven't told you this before, okay? There are three things that I will not do. All right?
I think you're getting angry now, Rick. All right. Is this?
No, I'm not
this,
angry. Okay. I'm not angry. All right. It's called being assertive. Number one, I will never jump out of a perfectly good airplane on purpose. Not going to do it, all right? Number two, I will not bungee jump. I get a little nervous on Ferris wheels, but I will not bungee jump. And number three, I will never run a marathon. I will never aspire to run a marathon, never have. I am a runner, but I don't want to run a marathon. People forget what happened to the very first marathoner, Bill. Do you remember what happened?
No.
The very first marathoner? No. Well, about 3,000 years ago, I believe it was the Peloponnesian Wars. I'm not sure which war it was in Greece. But the runner came. He ran 26 miles, 300 yards to report to his king, "We won." And then he collapsed and died. The defense rest. That's it.
Yeah, I got to share one story. I was thinking about this as you were talking earlier about the marathon. You know, we grew up, or I grew up, and Bill Rogers was the biggest runner out there. He won the marathon. He was Mr. Boston. You know, everybody loved Bill Rogers, and he's still very fit today. You know, he's just remarkable. You know, inspiration and so on. But I heard him being interviewed a few weeks ago. Actually, I think it was Tim McCarver who was interviewing him. And I was just struck by this response. So this is when we had the bombing a couple of years ago at the marathon, and Bill Rogers and he was always so active with all the marathons. Even if he wasn't running, he was there. You know, you'd see him, and he tells a story. You know, well, you know, I was home during the marathon, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh man, years are flying by here. This guy used to be running the marathons, then he'd be at the finish line, he'd be all over the place. And now the guy sits at home and during the marathon. It just struck me as I couldn't forget that phrase like a couple of years. I'm sitting at home with my girlfriend. I think he said his girlfriend. I think, you know, and we're, you know, I don't even know if he's watching the marathon. He probably was, but you know that, you know, it's just it's all different. You know that the years go by and things change. So whatever.
Yeah, and just continuing along that same vein, the other night when all the Celtic legends were there to see Bill Russell. Frail, I guess is the word, is just mind-boggling, because I still see Bill Russell as this absolute icon, this ramrod straight, perfect example of an athlete, and he's still pretty tall and pretty straight. But, you know, he's in his 80s now, and boy, as you say, Bill, you blink your eyes and decades are gone.
Yeah, and in talking with Matt Williams just a few moments ago, you know, he was at the Salem News for 17 years. I mean, it just seems like he joined the Salem News a few years ago. So whatever.
The Matt Williams or Matt Jenkins?
Matt Jenkins. I'm sorry. Did I say Matt Williams? I meant Matt Jenkins.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Matt.
Yeah, I know. It does. I mean, you know, and it's just incredible. But we're still at it. We're still looking ahead.
And it's, you know, what, you know, what was really nice this year is that this year I've been at games with Gary Larrabee and Mike Grenier. So that kind of like, okay, they're still there. They're still around. That's great. That's good. That works. All right.
Yep.
So that'll do it for us. Bill Newell with Rick Moore here on MSO News Sports on North Shore today. And a special thanks again to Matt Jenkins, formerly of the Salem News, for being our guest today on the program. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.